Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Miss Worth It Speaks. It's a great day in Atlanta, and we are excited to have you here with us. Joined in is our co-host, Gary Green. Welcome, Mr. Green.
Good evening.
All right, so we're excited about today's show, looking at from the young male's perspective. And we have two guests with us today. Our first guest name is Navarre Henderson from New Orleans, Louisiana, and he is a part of Justice from A to Zayas. Our second guest is Ronald Dowdy, another young man from New Orleans, Louisiana. And we want to welcome Navarre and Ronald.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Thank you so much for joining us today. And so normally we may start off with other topics, but I want to jump right into things today, myself and Mr. Green, as we dive right into the topic from the young male's perspective. And when we talk about the young male's perspective, it's a wide avenue. We could talk about a lot of things. But we're going to start off by focusing on how you feel you're treated in today's society with so much going on. We know it's a lot going on criminally, the murder rate, educationally, activity-wise, sports. Mm-hmm. The arena can go on and on. So we just want to talk for a moment about how you feel you are treated in today's society. And I want to start from the perspective of law enforcement. So, Ronald, you know, you being from the city of New Orleans, Navarre from there, but have been raised in Mississippi as well as he now lives in Atlanta, with you being rooted in the city of New Orleans, how do you feel regarding so much that's going on today criminally or with the police and how they handle young men? How do you feel about that? Like, do you feel that you're treated fairly?
Well, I feel that it's crazy how they treating the black men today, like based on our color, because like every day or every other day on the news is a black young male getting killed or gunned down by a white man or something like that. And I feel that it's racial, and it's crazy because based on how they judging us on our skin color and how we look.
So, Ronald, when you say, you know, every day you cut on the news and you're seeing where young black men are being murdered, and a lot of times it's by white cops. Unfortunately, sometimes there are black cops as well, and I can attest to that. But, you know, when you see the police coming up, how do you feel about that? Does it bother you? Does it make you nervous? I mean, what's your thoughts when, you know, police come up on the scene where you hang out at?
Well, my thoughts is they going to question me or they might try to slam me down or something like that, because based on how I look, I have dreads. And in their head, it might be, oh, I'm a troubled young man or something like that. But I don't really have no problem with some of the police. Like, based on how they address me, if they address me in a good way or something, I might have a good attitude with them. But if they come at me like the wrong way, like if I ain't doing nothing, then I feel like that's bad.
And what you think your reaction would be?
Like, I'm like, well, I don't know, because
okay,
I wouldn't know what to do, but I'll try to, like, either get away from him, or if they calling me and they trying to slam me or something, then I let my mama know, the adult, the nearest adult that I see,
okay,
let them know what's going on.
Okay, all right. Mr. Green, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I was, you talking about the question you asked, right, the original question?
Yes.
About the law enforcement, right, and the young black males in society?
Correct.
Okay, my take on it is pretty much, yeah, it's a racial issue that, you know what I mean, stemmed from the slave era. You know, most of the time, the police who were the police are descendants of slave owners or you know, the slave catchers back in the day. So I feel like it's just like a racial profile that they see us, and they know majority of us come from poverty-stricken areas or urban areas, and they kind of put us all, I guess, in the stereotype that if he looks like this, you know what I mean, he does this. If this is going on in this area, then he probably knows who's doing it. When, you know what I mean, you can't really judge a book by its cover. And I say that because, like, I went to college, and when I was in college, I went to a predominantly, you know, white school, a great school, Western Carolina University. But you would have troublemakers and you would have problems, but you would see the same on in either race. You know what I mean? So it's really, I think it's just kind of a sick mind. I think they get accustomed to it. And I don't know, man. It's just crazy because you see it happening to just all colored people and not many, you know what I mean? It's happening to white people as well, but not in the same way and same manner.
Right. A lot of things is happening to men of all colors. However, the things that are going on in the black community seems to exceed those things that are going on in other communities. Navari, what do you think, you know, from your perspective with all the things that's going on, like the school you attend, do you hear a lot of talk about what goes on in today's society with the young black male? Is there any trend? Do you think it's a trend that is happening to young black males? Or because you go to school with different races, do you see that they have the same complaint?
Well, most of the different races have the same complaint about the blacks being treated as they're treated now today. And I feel that it's not, I feel like half of us being treated right and half of us being treated wrong, because I feel that some of the white cops just want to go and kill the young black people because they see the other white cops getting away with the murder.
Okay, so when you say so you're saying you feel like it's a trend that some white cops have gotten away with it, so the other white cops feel like, well, what the heck, they can get away with it too.
Yeah, a little trigger happy.
Exactly. So now, you know, there's no idea of standing up for what's right individually. So it's no individualism at this point, is what it seems like. Is that what it looks like to you guys?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So, you know, and I agree. I totally agree. It's a lot going on. And we just want to know, you know, bringing you guys in, because you talk to adults and we feel a certain way, but just understanding. So, you know, from your perspective, when you out on the street, are you comfortable just, you know, hanging out with your friends, walking down the street? Are you comfortable doing that, Navari?
As long as no one approach me and I'm with my friends, I'm good with that.
But what do you think when you see a cop rolling up, or even when y'all just hear the sirens but you know they're coming in your direction?
Well, if I know that I didn't do nothing, I'll just stay calm. But if they, like, approach me a certain way, I'll be nervous and be shocked about what's going on.
Right. And that's real good that you said that. When you know you haven't done anything, to stay calm. Because in today's society, you find a lot of people automatically run. And some of them are innocent. And
right.
But the reason why they're running is because of how so many innocent people have been treated. So when I say that to you, that's kind of what I'm looking at, you know, when you're out there. And let's get away from the police for a little bit. Let's talk about even in the school systems. It has been plaguing the news right now how teachers are literally, probably some kids younger than you guys, because you're high schoolers, so you can kind of stand up for yourself. But there's been some teachers and, you know, administration workers in the school system that have really been handling little elementary school kids real bad. So in your schools, do you feel like, you know, principals, you know, teachers, whatever, do they handle you guys differently than they handle, per se, the Mexicans, the Caucasians, Indians, and things like that? Either one of you.
Well, since Bob's been in high school, they probably won't they probably won't say it or show it because based on how old we are, so they know we might catch on to it, but, like, they probably, like, show it in some type of way, like schoolwork, they'll, like grade you or F's and try to keep you from passing it, and they'll fail you, but they won't say it towards you, like, throw it to your way because they know that you're more appropriate enough to understand and figure out what they're saying about you on a racial level. But by them handling little kids like that, they know that a little kid might be shy or nervous to tell their parents. But by them being in high school, they'll know that some of the high school children, they might get mad and they might spaz out on them and try to, like, hurt them, or they might go and tell their parents or might tell the principal.
Right. Okay. Navarre, in your school, do you see any difference?
Not really. Well, since we are in high school, they treat mostly all the kids as adults.
Okay.
And make us, yeah, and just.
So, when you say they treat you as adults, so the teachers, for instance, say it's Caucasian teachers, whatever, any of the teachers, when they're talking to you about walking down the halls or whatever, do you feel you're more of a target, I guess is what I'm saying, to be stopped in the hallways when you're walking in the hall because you're a young black male?
Well, I haven't been stopped in the hall just from walking down the hall, but, you know,
so you're good. So at your school, there is no, you don't really see any racial discrimination going on?
No.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good because it's been plaguing the news lately where you do see some of that, where there's parents saying that they feel their children have been targeted. So that's good to know. Mr. Green, you have anything on that?
Yeah, I have something on the last two topics. The one before, I think we was talking about how the police approach you or when people, you know, run from the police.
Right.
And I feel like basically, you know, it just shocks me how the police say this person was running to him when they shot him or they were doing this when they shot him, when we all know. And I don't know how it is with Navarre and Ronald growing up, but I know when I was growing up, every black person was aware of the police. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You see the police, it's, oh, there go 12. I don't care where you're from. Oh, there go 5-0. You know what I'm saying? Hey, one time. They got different code words for it, and they saying that because in the black community, we don't want nothing to deal with the police. We don't want no problems with the police. We're running away from the police. 9 times out of 10, whether you got something on you or you don't, it's because they gonna treat you all the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at a case with Mike Brown. Dude was about to go to college. You know what I mean? They try to paint this whole image like he went in the store and stole, and when they go back and show it, he paid for it. You know what I'm saying? So you can't
so
really just like say.
So, God, really, this issue has been around in the community where young people, black males are on the streets. Like you said, they have code words, so they're always aware of officers coming into their neighborhood, and they're always feeling, you know, that they got to run away from it. So, in other words, now it has just escalated to another level.
Even if you go back to the original reason why gangs were formed, the gangs were formed to protect the community. You know what I'm saying? Not just from other gangs, but from the police as well, because they were terrorizing the community. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have officers in these communities every day who aren't from there, but they're constantly terrorizing certain people. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's just taking drugs or taking their money, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily locking them up, but he's just like a big bully sometimes, you know what I mean? I'm not saying this about all cops, but this has been going on for years, you know what I'm saying? And it stems from that racial issue as well. And then it's also, I think, I think cops need, like, rehab. I think they need rehabilitation because it's, like, it's a stressful job, you know what I'm saying, along with many other jobs. But at the same time, they're not getting no rehab. They're just getting paid leave. Like, what? I don't understand if criminals got to go to jail and be rehabilitated, then when they go through certain acts throughout the day, not even a murder, it could be getting into it, slamming a kid. I mean, they need to it need to be talked about. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, Ronald, you hear Mr. Green saying that this is a history. and which it really is. But I guess the point I'm trying to get to is, why is it now that we're blasting, we want to march again, we want to do the Martin Luther King again, we want to act as if this is something new that's going on? How do you feel about that, Ronald? I mean, when you were a younger kid, you're what, 15 now? Okay, so when you was about 9, 10 on the block, do you feel that people were still timid and afraid when the police come as they are today?
Well, when I was like 9 or 10, when I'd be outside, when I'd be outside and I see the police coming, I would see people like saying they go to police or they go 5-0, and they'll like get out the way and they'll
right.
go to their house or get on their porch. What was going on in my head was like, why is they keep running from the police? And now today, I see why they was running from the police, because the police, they like the bad people. They'll mess with you for no reason.
Right.
And I see today why they were running from the police.
Okay, and that's the perspective I was trying. That's what I've been probing for, is the fact that the cycle has reversed. When I was growing up, the police was someone you run to stay away from the criminals. But there were some bad cops still back then. But nowadays, it seemed that it's reversed. The cops are really the bad ones. And then, you know, it's like they're out beating the criminals. So we have this issue not with just them pulling the trigger, but we also have this issue where when they searching and roughing up, especially black young men, whether it's drugs or whatever, they're taking the money and they're taking their drugs, which is something they've been doing, but now it's escalating.
Right.
So in that perspective, Navari, like, we should never ignore it. But why does it seem like today is such a, like, everybody's losing their mind, this is something new, like we're experiencing something new? Why do you feel that? Why do you think that it's like that?
Well, I feel that because now in 2015, things has, like, got more worse than it was, like, back then.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are, like, more beware of their lives and stuff like that.
Okay. And do you think they're aware because it's happening regularly?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, because it's been going on. Mr. Green definitely brought back history to make us aware of that. It has always been going on. But now it's like, it's a trend. That's what it is. It's a trend. Every week we're hearing this. And, yeah, it seems as if, you know, I heard on the news, I think the cops killed a white guy. So I think that was just, you know, to throw one out there to kind of throw us off, you know, kill one white one. That way we can't say they're just killing blacks. It's not funny. But, you know, that's what it seemed like to me. You know, they let us kill a couple of what they would call is trashy whites, because, you know, there's always been a name, upper class white people called trailer park trashy white people. They put them in the same category as what they feel about blacks. And here's another thing I want to bring up right before we take a break, and I want y'all to kind of just fester, you know, kind of think about this for a minute. So we have the blacks really being attacked now, okay? And you have people getting out here rioting, and in the rioting, though, in the marches, not just rioting, excuse me, in the marches that we see where people are standing up saying Black Lives Matter, I've been looking, and I see a whole lot of black people saying Black Lives Matter, and I see some white people who are saying Black Lives Matter. What I don't see is the Hispanics, Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, the Asians, Indians. So I think that they think they're obsolete. Think about that for a minute while we take a break. We'll be right back with you. This is Ms. Worth It Speaks, talking about from the black young man's perspective.
Thank you.
when Miss Worthy speaks from the young male's perspective. And our co-host is now in the area with us. I'm sorry, I was thrown off for a minute. So in the studio with us. So here we have Gary Green, and we left off just with thoughts about why others feel that they shouldn't be a part of this, as far as the different things that the young black man face today with police brutality and anything else. So take us there, Mr. Green.
Well, I can say from my perspective, I've seen at a couple rallies and a couple, I guess, areas where it's more Latino or Spanish-driven, like cities like L.A., mm-hmm. I've seen some of those different races out there, and they've been going to battle for a while. Some of them are still worried about being legal in America or, you know what I mean, getting thrown out and their kids able to stay. But I think some do think they're better or on a pedestal, you know what I mean? Right. And I can say that from the perspective of even working with Indian people or Muslim people from the Middle East. Like, they, from being out of the country, they had this, they got this opinion from the media that they knew that black people were criminals. And then when we sat down and talked about it, you know what I mean? I said, huh, so have y'all ever been around black people? Oh, no, we haven't. Your parents never, no, they never, we just seen, like, the news. And I said, oh, so when you came over here, what did you think? And he was like, bro, it's, like, the total opposite. You know what I mean? I mean, he said because every race has those bad people, like Saddam Hussein was burning down oil fields. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have, if you look at the Middle East and Africa and Russia right now, they have thugs and criminals. So I think some groups do. They get their money, but I think it's black people, too. They get their money, and then they think, like, okay, well, that's not us because we're over here.
Now, that's
you know what I'm saying?
Because you're right. Black people begin to get status when they're over a certain pay grade. You don't see them out there along with us standing in the rally saying that Black Lives Matter. You have very few. But in reality, it should be a whole lot of people out there with us. We should take over.
And what's funny is you'll think, like, it'll be the richest ones. And it's not even those. Like, some of those are the main ones coming back. It's the ones who got some bread, but it ain't, you know, Bill Gates bread, but it's, I got some $100,000, I'm out the hood, my people good, you know what I'm saying? And then once their auntie's son get killed, then they come back like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I think that's what it is with a lot of races. Even now, it's not even really, to be honest, it's not color no more. It's rich and poor.
Exactly.
I got white friends who are poor who feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the same people you see at those rallies. You can tell. They're
right.
Not rich. You know what I mean? They have some money. They have good jobs, but so do we.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? So I don't know how y'all see it, where y'all grow up. Do y'all feel like, you know, some of the other colored kids, because they're still color, Latinos, Muslims, Indians, you know what I mean, Native Americans, they're still color. Do you feel like they feel like they're better, or is it just our mind state?
Like the kids you go to school with or the kids you hang out with?
I wouldn't say they feel like they're better, but...
What you think? They feel like it's not going to happen to them?
Well, they stay to themselves most of the time, so, you know, they don't, like, get into most things as... Most people do nowadays and stuff like that.
So pretty much they do just like the families of other races who you don't see out there fighting for the lives of those who are being killed unjustly. They kind of feel like it's not happening to us, so we gonna mind our business. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have those type of friends? Like, do you have different racial groups of friends?
Yeah, I have different racial friends. Yeah.
School.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like at those schools, I think sometimes that's good. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Right.
If it's the right kid.
Right.
In the right situation. Because I remember earlier we brought up about the teachers, right?
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's been a problem since a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some old black people think
mm-hmm.
that segregation was like the worst thing. It was like Martin Luther King and them should have just let us stay
separate. Mm-hmm. Let us keep building and teaching our kids the way we can teach them instead of putting them in their schools, because now they can fail them and say, oh, you need to go to that class because he can't, or you need to do this.
And that's kind of what Ronald pointed on, saying, you know, they can give us an F, you know, just because the color of our skin, they feel like we not, I don't like you or whatever. Yeah. Okay, well, guess what? We're going to just kind of change that a little bit and let Mr. Green kind of target from the young male's perspective in the music industry and in as far as athletes. Let's target that area, like focus on the music and the athletes.
What do you mean by that?
From a young male's perspective, like, what are your thoughts about them really being involved and, yeah.
My perspective of it is I see a lot more being involved. Even some of them, they go through the police issue things too, especially rappers or even singers and athletes, because, you know, police still feel like, well, I'm the police. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't care how much money you got, you're going to pull over and I'm going to do this and that. But I've seen a lot more giving back because a lot more athletes and rappers, they're getting mentors now. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're linking up with some of these Tony Dungys and mm-hmm. Herman Edwards when they're going through certain to give them, you know, just that positive and that wise man. You know, I think you always say, like, women need a Naomi. They need an older person
exactly.
who kind of been there or at least seen it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why you see a lot of Richard Shermans and a lot of these dudes coming back, giving back to their neighborhoods, and plus because their family's still there. So,
right.
You know what I mean? You can leave, but you still got to come home.
Exactly.
So how do y'all feel like? Do y'all feel like y'all hear enough athletes or musicians giving back to their community?
Yeah
a lot.
Like, what?
Keep going.
I know Cash Money do it.
Well, a lot of basketball players, they do it, like, on the off season, like Anthony Davis and them. They reach back to the community because that's where they come from. Like, they once was in some of those people's shoes, so they're going to go back to the hood and let the people know that they, like, that they still have love for them and they're going to treat them like they family.
Cool. What about you, Navarre?
I know Dez Bryant, John Wall,
mm-hmm.
like, on certain holidays, they go out and buy a lot of stuff and go back to the community and give it to their community and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I have, with that being said, like Mr. Green just brought up about, you know, a lot of those guys now have mentors. And, you know, do you feel it's necessary for you to have a mentor?
Yes.
Do you feel
yes.
it's necessary? Right. What about you, Ronald?
I feel it's necessary.
Yeah, having a mentor is, I think, a great experience regardless what your age.
Right.
Because the level, like, you know, Mr. Green brought up, the level I've always seen it, and coming from a spiritual background, is that no matter where you are in life, from a child to an adult, you should be always leading someone and you should always be following someone. Because in order to be a great leader, you have to be a great follower. So never feel as if, you know, you can't learn anything from someone else. As a matter of fact, your sister, which is my daughter, is now working for some ladies. Some of the viewers may not know that this is my son, Gary Green. But my daughter is now working, sitting with some elderly people, and she was just telling us, like, one of our patients is 100 years old and the other one is 101. And I saw where she posted on social media about the wisdom. She's like, and she told me, she said, "Mom, you always said you love sitting with elderly people because you learn so much." That is so true, and I'm so glad that she's viewing that, and she's just been every day calling me when she at work, sharing with me, because these are our elderly who are really still taking care of themselves, still in their right mind, but, you know, they still need somebody there, you know, in case they slip and fall like that, but there's wisdom, and so I brought that up because no matter how old you are, you always need someone that you can lean on as far as getting that extra knowledge. Either they've been down that road or they know someone who's been there, and that's why the Bible was put in place for us too, and the Bible tells us only a fool does not seek after wisdom and knowledge, and basically only a fool will read something in the Bible and then say, "Oh, well, that ain't how it's going to work out for me, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway." If I tell you that I just came from the corner and there's a pothole that'll blow your tire out because one of the cars just did it, why would you go that way? Because you think it won't happen to you. Because you think, oh, I know how to drive better. That's a fool. But a wise man is going to say, well, is there another street that I can go on this way to get over there? You see what I'm saying? Make sense? Yeah. So, Mr. Green, what else do you think is, you know, from the young male's perspective, when we talk about, we've talked about, you know, and like I said in the beginning, this is a kind of a wide range from the young male's perspective. What else do you think we can pull out of these young men to target about from their perspective, how they look at different things?
I was about to say, back to that one good thing about the athlete, that you don't, you know, to give back, you don't necessarily have to be, you know what I mean, you don't have to have the riches or just the fame, you know what I mean? You can give back, however, to one person, to whoever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Different organizations, just to give back and, you know what I mean, help people, because you give and you shall receive. So that was pretty much my take on that. And I think that'll help a lot of young dudes too, because they'll see like, oh, in the black community, you know, and a lot of rappers say this, they'll say like, oh, only thing we had to look up to was like a rapper or a ball player.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like if they're not that, if they're working at an executive at Home Depot or something, you know what I mean? They feel like, well, I got a little change. Some of them will give back, but the majority of them just keep trying to live that rat race, trying to get more money. So I think if more like regular dudes came back, talked to the kids, because they went through the most of the stuff anyway, young guys will see, like, even if I'm not this, I'm still me. I'm still a king. I'm still blessed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then another thing that, like, we can help pull out of these dudes is just, like, challenging themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, be competitive with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we'll get complacent or we'll just feel like doing what we do is just, that's good. You know what I mean? I almost made the shot, so I tried. It's good. But not really challenging yourself, like, okay, I missed that shot in the game, I missed this shot, so let me go do this, you know what I mean? Or I missed this in that class, so let me make sure I got that, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
You got to really kind of challenge yourself, and I feel like if we can get them to start doing that more and then being more positive, don't think the negative side of everything,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Just, like, be more positive, go in there with confidence, because that's when you know you got God with you. When you got that extra confidence, that boost, you feel good. You know you can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the main thing I'll say is, like, just challenging them.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a good perspective, because why would you only feel that you can only look up to a basketball player or athlete or musician, somebody famous? Why is that the only person you can look up to? Do you feel like that's the only people you should have to look up to?
No.
I
never really thought
about that. Well, is there anybody you do look up to, or you aspire to say, not necessarily I want to be him, but I want to per se have some of the qualities of that person. Do you? Okay, go ahead, Ron.
See, me, I don't always look up to famous people. I got cousins, brothers, uncles. They tell me the more right things to do than the famous people.
Right.
Only thing I can say about the famous people is they show me how to work hard. Like, if I see them doing something wrong in one game and they come back and work hard, that's the only way they can show me. But I got family members that tell me, like, they break it down to me, like, in, like, it's levels, and they show me how it's supposed to go.
Good, good. And you know what, Ron? I like that you said that, because that's what you need more of, and that's exactly what Mr. Green is talking about. While a lot of people tell their kids, you know, and this is true, I've been around women who are, you know, telling their children, you know, you better, you know, because you want to be like Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan ain't never came to your house to teach your child a thing. And we're not taking nothing away from Michael Jordan. But like you said, Ronald, you got uncles and cousins who you get to see every day hustling and, you know, become successful and come back and can give you step by step. Step guidelines, you know what I'm saying? So that makes a lot more sense. So, you know, when you're thinking about the things you're in your heart, you got this drive, what you want to do. Do you only look at positions as, or do you only look at success being that you have to be a movie star, a singer, or an athlete, and to vary? When you think about success, is that the only three things that you feel is being successful?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, if I want to work hard, I'll, like, look at most of the athletes, because I know they work hard every day to get better and better and to get where they are now and stuff like that.
So you're saying you look at them just about the ability they have to get where they are?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But do you think that's the only thing, that's the only position that make you successful? Do you think being a doctor, or do you think just being an executive can be successful?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Yeah, because here's the thing. Success is not determined by the amount of dollars you have in your pocket. It is not. It is not at all. And I tell this story on many occasions, and I'm going to tell it again today, even if you heard it before. There was a janitor at a high school in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And the kids just knew this janitor, and I forgot his name, Mr. So-and-so. And Mr. So-and-so came to work with, was it green pants they wear, the janitors in Fayetteville?
Dark blue pants,
light blue shirts, you know, just basic. But one time there was a kid after school, two kids after school, and they lived pretty far. They actually wasn't supposed to be going to school in this district. And so this janitor was the last person to leave the school, and he see them hanging out on the field, just sitting there. He go out and talk to them. And these two kids said, well, we missed our ride. Pretty much our mama came. We weren't where we were supposed to be. And when we called, she said, get home the best way you can. So he said, I'm going to give y'all a ride, but I got to make a stop first. He called one of the coaches, and he told him, got so-and-so, so-and-so here, because these boys play sports. And he said, but nobody's here, so I'm going to give them a ride. But basically he was covering his tracks. Because, you know, teachers and all that. And only people that really get to take kids home are coaches. So he gives these kids a ride home. He makes this stop. Got to get through this gate in this huge community where nothing but pretty much on Ramsey Street, over $500,000 million homes. Mm-hmm. And he stops and goes through. And he go in and he change. And he actually pull out one of the cars and tell the boys to get out the old beat-up truck and get in the car. And they like, this is so-and-so. Who car you got? Blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, this is mine. They like, who house is this? He said, this is where I live. This is my house. Boys in shock because they see the janitor as a nobody, not making no money. He gave them a lesson. It's not about how much money you make. It's about how you manage your money. He had always been a janitor. But he managed and invested his money so well that he lived in a million-dollar home, drove Mercedes high-class cars. Your success is not determined by the amount of money you make because you see more athletes doing stupid things, losing more money, wasting it.
Are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, that's definitely true. And then, you know, I think that's just like, in the urban areas, I think most kids, that's just what they see. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's mm-hmm. what they see people talking about a lot. That's what, it's fun when they do it, because all this is a kid's game. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So I tell people, hey, oh, gee, you going to keep playing football? I'm going to always play football. It's a kid's game. I have fun when I play it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whether I'm getting a check or not. Now, I won't be stupid and say, I'm going to come play tackle for free. It's not happening. You know what
right.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
You got to pay me. We have some insurance. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, these are kids' games. So when kids, they play basketball, they're like, oh, I want to be a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, he might be 10 years old saying this. You know what I mean? Get to high school, dude ain't never played basketball for no team, but he still want to be a basketball
right.
player. You know what I mean? So I think it's just they see the fun in it. They see the fame in it.
Right.
They see the money in it. You know what I'm saying? They see the chains.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff you see, it catch
that
your eye.
Stuff.
They don't see the agent behind them. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Or they don't see this rapper who got this manager who's setting all this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because
you know thinkers rule the world. So they don't see, they're not seeing that extra
exactly.
part. They
or
just
the
see,
engineer.
Right. You see, like in music, you'll see a baby a lot, but you won't see Slim.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because it's, and that's what the young black dudes missing, and that's what I mean by like a lot of young people who got regular jobs got to come back. These dudes got to know, like, dude,
exactly.
You can be successful regardless. You know what I mean? That's a mind state.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak it, and if you keep speaking it, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you, like you say, you got to stay on the path and be ready for it. You'll miss some blessings just by messing up one step.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I think that's what it is. I think we just see it a lot. Even when I was little, and a lot of my friends, oh, man, I'm trying to be like such and such, or I'm trying to do this, or I'm trying to drive cars like such and such. And then I get older, and I got teachers who was like, oh, Gary, I made my first $1 million when I was like 26, man. You know what
right.
I mean? And I'm like, doing what? Oh, man, just, you know, I mean, I did this, and I worked hard. I lost all my money, though. One time I lost all my money, was like 23, was living, you know what I mean, in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, got a nice little job, and got smarter, came back harder, made $1 million off a deal. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, so dang, am I going to judge my success off the money I'm making or how much fun I can have and live my life while I'm making this money?
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people like to play football for fun.
Right.
They don't want to play with a coach making him run 30 sprints.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't signed up for that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that's just what get us.
And you're right. I mean, I work for a lady now, and people, nobody would ever think that you could do taxes and make millions of dollars. They just think you're doing little here, little there.
Didn't.
And this lady made her, huh?
I didn't think you
exactly.
could do taxes and make a million
and
dollars.
And she made her first million when she said I think after she got in her first real building, and she said, this lady told her, you know, if you work hard, you can be successful. And she did, and she made her first million in that first 5 or so years of doing taxes. And so you have to just remember, you can make millions, or you can be successful at whatever it is you want to do, young man. And that's the purpose of having you here today, so that your friends can go back and listen and understand that, and that, like Mr. Green said, more everyday people have to come back and teach you. And if you look around, those are really the people that are getting out here in the community now. You know, yeah, you got your Steve Harveys who do a camp for young boys once a year. You know what I'm saying? And he has a story, you know, because he ain't always been, he didn't even get his money and fame until he was an older gentleman. You know what I'm saying? But remember that you have to be able to look up to the people that are inputting into your life. Everybody, as I say all the time, every woman need a Naomi and every man need an Abraham, because Abraham was a leader. So you need somebody to lead you, and you need to listen. And sometimes it ain't going to be easy taking the challenge that they give you, sometimes the discipline, you know, the correction.
Tough love.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about earlier when I was saying challenge, like tough love.
You tough